Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anababe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anababe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. China, the People's Republic of China, and the universities of the United States, of the whole world, the relationship is extremely difficult to sort out because Chinese scholars are first-rate Americans with opportunities to study in labs supported by Chinese universities is a first-rate, and yet there are doubts raised repeatedly now about how the People's Republic of China has used the free and easy access to American scholarship, European scholarship, to advance the case of the aggression of Beijing towards its neighbors, not only Hong Kong and Japan and the South China Sea and Australia, but also the United States. I welcome Craig Singleton. He is China Program Deputy Director and Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, testifying to Congress most recently, the middle of July, about exposing the dangers of the influence of foreign adversaries on college campuses. Craig, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Old news is Confucius Institutes. New news is much more difficult to summarize with a simple acronym. Let us begin with the Confucius Institutes, which I heard about over these last years. Benign is what it looks like. However, what do we know now about how the Confucius Institutes were used? And what do we know now about the American college and universities where the CIs appeared? What are they doing about what they've learned? Good evening to you.
Yeah, thanks, John. I mean, I think the big picture, right, is that the number of these Confucius Institutes across the United States has fallen dramatically. At one point, there were more than 110 of them. I think we're down to about 10. And so Confucius Institutes, government-sponsored organizations that ostensibly offer Chinese language and cultural and history programming around the world. But they serve a huge and I think important role within China's broader soft power apparatus. But what we've learned is that they actually are sort of platforms to propagate China's own version of its political history, blurring China's human rights record and abuses and portraying Taiwan and Tibet, for example, as sort of undisputed Chinese possessions. But I think more recently, there's been a lot of evidence that shows that, Confucius Institutes provide Chinese civilian universities under the control of China's party state with access to U.S. college campuses and academic elites, including they often lead to the establishment of research and academic partnerships between U.S. universities and Chinese universities that are leading the way in China's military modernization. And so even though the number of Confucius Institutes has dropped, a lot of evidence suggests that these research and academic partnerships continue and they persist. And in fact, they have grown in number in the last few years. It's very hard to track. It's very hard to sort of keep an eye on the partnerships and the relationships simply because U.S. universities are under no requirement whatsoever to disclose any of that information.
Let's begin with this specific example. Alfred University engaged in research, defense matter research, and what do we know about how China used it?
Absolutely. I mean, China's civilian universities play a key role in China's military-civil fusion strategy. The notion that the Chinese government, through lots of different means, is seeking cutting-edge technology to achieve Chinese military dominance. And as part of those, that sort of big overarching strategy, China maintains academic and research partnerships with lots of U.S. universities. Alfred University happens to be one of them. So in addition to hosting a Confucius Institute until rather recently, Alfred University also happens to receive lots of money from the Defense Department to work on really high-speed research involving hypersonic missiles. This is an emerging field of extreme importance to Washington. Of these advanced ultra-fast missiles to evade traditional missile defense networks. And so Alfred has maintained these unregulated partnerships with different Chinese universities, for example, the China University of Geosciences, which is directly involved in supporting China's People's Liberation Army and working for the Chinese military on a variety of research topics and issues. So you start to see this double dealing where a U.S. university maintains a Confucius Institute. It maintains these troubling and problematic academic and research partnerships with Chinese universities. At the same time, it's receiving millions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer funds to work on cutting edge research. There's a lot of risk here. There's very little to no vetting that is done or required for the U.S. universities to maintain these partnerships. And there's very little vetting that the Defense Department does on its U.S. partners and who they are potentially engaging with in China. All of this just creates incredible risk. And the Chinese government has proven successful time and time again about leveraging and weaponizing those partnerships to obtain intellectual property and cutting-edge research to advance its military modernization.
What is CSSA?
Yeah, so Chinese Students and Scholars Associations are just one more sort of soft power lever that the Chinese Communist Party employs on U.S. college campuses. And so increasingly, authoritarian regimes like China, they view college campuses as safe spaces to silence critics and to even to monitor their own citizens. China has no equal on this front. Confucius Institutes are certainly a part of that. But what we're starting to see is the proliferation of these CSSAs at more than 150 U.S. college campuses. And so these are Chinese government-funded organizations that are active participants in China's United Front, which is China's political warfare strategy. They report directly to Chinese diplomatic missions and embassies and consulates here in the United States. And they are responsible for, among other things, alerting Chinese diplomats about on-campus events that have the potential to conflict with China's preferred political narratives. Lots of journalists and activists have exposed how CSSAs routinely coordinate with the Chinese government to suppress free speech, including disrupting speeches and discussions on lots of sensitive issues like the Uyghur genocide. More interesting and perhaps more troubling, though, is that CSSAs have been channeled by the Chinese Communist Party to harass and monitor Chinese students living and studying in the United States. And all of these efforts are really aimed at constraining academic freedom and undermining core principles of free speech and academic integrity.
Chinese Students and Scholars Association. That means that professors or the research postgraduates or the undergraduates are enlisted in these organizations and then used for political action? Is that how it works?
So there are outfits at about 155 U.S. universities that are known about. They receive the funding and direction from the Chinese Communist Party as like on-campus groups. And what they're doing is mostly they're surveilling on the Chinese students and the researchers who are at these U.S. universities and then working to disrupt events that are aimed at portraying China in a negative light. And so they're not necessarily directly linked to the goal of stealing intellectual property. They're much more focused on Chinese soft power and ensuring that narratives on campus are sort of safe spaces for the Chinese Communist Party.
Now we have the really complicated thing to summarize. There are defense universities in China. There are so-called civilian universities. You name four of them: Nanjing University, Sichuan University, Sun Yat-sen University, and Ocean University. How are they involved in what appears to be Chinese intervention in American scholarship?
Yeah, I mean, China's not the only country that has set its sights on academic, or, you know, sorry, American academia. It's by far the most prolific offender. And China's whole of society strategy to leverage U.S. academia and its openness really aligns with Beijing's broader stated objective of becoming a superpower. And so the Chinese government has specifically and formally embraced the notion that its civilian universities, they have to integrate into China's military-civil fusion system, which aims to eliminate barriers between Chinese civilian research and China's commercial sectors and its military and defense and industrial sectors. And so China sort of maintains a range of policies that advocate the two-way transfer of information from the military and the civilian, all with this broader goal to sort of harness China's great power ambitions. And so these Chinese universities, there are several dozen of them, have been directly tapped by the Chinese Communist Party to support military-civil fusion and to support the Chinese military buildup. And that creates some serious challenges for student vetting and for partnership vetting and due diligence, because even though there are about seven People's Liberation Army-specific sort of universities, often referred to as sort of the Seven Sisters, now China has expanded the scope to include dozens of its universities, all civilian, to support China's military. And that includes hosting, for example, on these Chinese campuses, PLA laboratories where they do research on nuclear weapons design. It's a troubling development. It's one that poses major challenges to the U.S. and its allies. And it's certainly one in which the Chinese believe they have some sort of a winning strategy.
The puzzle here is how this relates to the top of drawer research universities in America. Harvard and Yale are obvious, Arizona State, Purdue University, University of Michigan. You report that what we have is partnerships that are set up with those four universities I named. Are the American universities apprised of the risks here? And do they prevent a defense or at least a monitoring of these research relationships?
I mean, by facilitating collaborations between Chinese civilian universities and their American counterparts, China is very clearly aiming to tap into America's cutting-edge research to acquire advanced technology and to bolster its own military capabilities. And they acknowledge that cooperation with the universities you mentioned and others contributes to China's catch-up development, you know, with U.S. universities and research institutes representing what the Chinese say is, quote, a treasure trove of technological talent for Beijing's taking. The challenge, right, is that right now, today, U.S. universities are not required to coordinate these partnerships with anyone. They're not required by law to disclose details regarding partnerships. They're not required to conduct any formal due diligence on their Chinese partners. U.S. universities are not under any legal or regulatory obligation to even sever ties with Chinese universities that are supporting China's military-industrial complex. You know, even in cases when those universities are on the U.S. Commerce Department's entity list, which restricts the exportation of sensitive items to designated entities and individuals. And so the true extent of this sort of web of partnerships is totally unknown. But what we already do know and what we can already see is that there are far too many unregulated, opaque partnerships in STEM-related fields between our top U.S. universities and research institutes and Chinese schools that are overtly supporting China's military buildup.
Craig, your information to Congress is publicly available. These universities have vast, very sophisticated staffs. Surely they're aware of the risk. Do they respond in any fashion to your research or anyone's research on these suspicions?
You know, it's really a mixed bag. I mean, there's been a number of instances where researchers like myself have worked with universities who recognize that they have a problem and want to develop some sort of vetting mechanisms. At the other end of the spectrum, you have lots of universities that say, these exchanges are central to the academic enterprise, and we see no reason to sever them. And I have a hard time seeing those particular sorts of universities ever really taking serious action to, in some cases, just limit some of the areas in which they partner with problematic Chinese universities or to impose better vetting on which Chinese students, particularly those with military backgrounds, that are involved in their research. And so while there's a lot of information that's out there, and these universities, you're right, some of them are multi-billion-dollar enterprises, they sort of have their head in the sand a little bit. And unless forced by Congress, I think, to enhance their vetting, to really limit their ability to engage in these partnerships or to receive certain types of Chinese funding, are really under no serious pressure or threat to do so. And unfortunately, we just haven't seen that sort of will yet from Congress. I think they've made tremendous progress in certain areas. This is an area that is getting a very close look. And I suspect that we'll see some movement perhaps in this year's National Defense Authorization Act that specifically targets the threat that's posed by China's civilian universities.
Craig Singleton, China Program Deputy Director, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, is testifying to Congress mid-July 2023, exposing the dangers of the influence of foreign adversaries on college campuses. Okay, we've set the problem. What is to be done when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.